Please turn to Mark chapter 6. We will start at the end of Mark chapter 6 this morning. We'll go through a good portion of Mark chapter 7. So Mark chapter 6, starting in verse 53, and we'll look at through chapter 7 to verse 23, and we'll look at these verses as we go along. I'm not going to read that passage starting out. But I want us to think about this morning why it is that we want so very much to look good in front of other people. And God's people have struggled with that over the years, whether it was Israel or the church today. We want to look good on the outside. We want people to look at us and say, look at that fine, upstanding Christian. Boy, they have everything together. And although we will deny it, probably, we want very much to have that stamp of approval upon ourselves. For other Christians to look at us and say, what a wonderful person, what a great relationship they must have with God. And we go to great lengths to make that happen. We might say that we don't. Well, I don't do anything extra special. But we probably don't spend a lot of time sharing with each other our struggles. And if we do, then good for you. If it's not an effort to draw attention to yourself, but as just an effort to say, hey, I'm nobody special. I have sin in my life and I struggle. But usually what we do is we make an effort to put that facade out there and say, everything is hunky-dory. We spend a lot of time on that outward appearance. And we don't usually let people on the inside, to find out who we really are. And if things are going good and we're walking with the Lord, that's good. And hopefully a pure heart on the inside, and we'll talk about that this morning, is what people see coming through on the outside. But when we get to the point where we work so hard on that outward appearance to where our heart suffers, then that's a big problem. We can do that. And we have examples of that this morning of people having a significant heart problem because they work so hard on just making sure that everybody thinks that everything is good on the outside and wanting people to lift them up and look at them and place them in a high position. And we just had a little conversation about that before. So I want us to be very, very careful of that we don't do what we see many people doing in Scripture, that it's so important for other people to look at us and say, what a wonderful person that is. It's so important for us to have that facade on the outside for what people to see, that we neglect the inside. And then we have significant heart issues. So we'll look at that this morning. An overemphasis on our outward appearance will lead to serious neglect of our hearts. And I'm not talking about the clothes that we wear or hair or that kind of outward appearance. But that outward appearance where we work so hard on it to make other people think what a wonderful person that person is that happens so much to the neglect of our own hearts. Well, we'd all say, that's not me, or we would hope that that's not us, but we have to open Scripture, read Scripture, and find out whether it is. And we let Scripture diagnose our heart issues. And that's what I want us to do this morning. So what are the signs that we may be in danger of neglecting our hearts? So, Mark chapter 6, starting with verse 53, we're going to look at that this morning. We have the Pharisees to help us out with this. Jesus warns the Pharisees about a number of things in this passage, and we would look at the Pharisees and teachers of the law, maybe we often do as we look at the Gospels, and say, I'm nothing like that, but we need to make a comparison. So Jesus is trying to teach and train his disciples, as he often does. And he's teaching and training his disciples. Sometimes he says, don't be like this, very outwardly. Sometimes we don't see the words, but we know that there is this training going on as he chose those disciples. And he would pull them aside and say, okay, let me tell you about what you just saw. And we'll see that here this morning. And of course, the inference is, don't be like that. And this morning, I think we can very clearly see that Jesus is saying, okay, This is what you just saw. This is what is in the heart of these peoples, these people, these Pharisees and teachers of the law. And he's telling them, don't let your heart be like that. So this morning, hopefully we can diagnose some heart problems and we can find out some things that might be in our own hearts that we need to address. And again, in particular, these Pharisees and these teachers of the law were so involved in what the outside looked like and how people perceived them that that's what they were all about. And that's how they lived. And that's what was most important to them, so that people would lift them up and say, aren't you great and aren't you wonderful? And that's what they strove for. And we need to be very, very careful about that, that we don't do the same thing. Because if that's what we're striving for and that's what we're working on, we will indeed neglect our hearts. And then those heart problems will come to the surface. So we'll look at three of them this morning. And I'll say to you that even though my main idea here is an overemphasis on our outward appearance, that's not the only thing that can lead to a neglect of your heart. There could be a number of things. But we'll look at this one specifically this morning because it's so very upfront in our passage. They were so concerned about looking good in the eyes of others that it was very clear that they suffered for it on the inside. So the first point is this: a neglected heart is characterized by criticism. Now, before we start looking at any of the verses or passage this morning, I want us to understand what we're talking about here. Criticism, to stand for the truth and point out error, is not criticism. Well, it can be, but it is a biblical pointing out of error, a biblical critique of what is truth and what is not truth. And that's not what we're talking about this morning. And you'll see it very clearly in the passage. So when we talk about criticism, it is an unwarranted and an unbiblical criticism that I want us to look at and to notice. So number one, a neglected heart is characterized by criticism. So as we look at this point, we want to be evaluating our lives, how we live, the words that we say, and ask ourselves, do I find myself unfairly criticizing people? Do I find myself unfairly criticizing people within the body of Christ and outside the body of Christ? Is that a characterization of myself? So let's look at that. Starting in verse 53, start reading some of our verses this morning. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret. This is Jesus and his disciples. When they had crossed over, they landed at Gennesaret, and I'm probably not pronouncing that correctly, and they anchored there. As soon as they got out of the boat, people recognized Jesus. They ran throughout that whole region and carried the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched him were healed. So it's very important here that we see what's going on. And this is the backdrop of what the rest of the passage that we're going to look at in chapter 7 talks about. Mark reminds us that of what's happening here. Jesus is healing people. People with great physical needs. And he's also addressing spiritual needs as well. So that's what we have here. And it's important that we look at this before we get into chapter 7, because everybody knows what Jesus is doing. And in the backdrop of this, we have chapter 7 and verse 1. Where it says, the Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash, and they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. We know already at this point, and I have just one verse for you that backs us up to Mark chapter 3 and verse 2. We know what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law were all about. And this is a picture into their heart. It says, some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus. So they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. So this is another story of Jesus' healing. They were just looking, waiting, and watching to criticize Jesus. And part of that criticism, and a big part of that criticism, is because it's very clear that people are now starting to follow Jesus and to listen to him. And they didn't like that, clearly. Pharisees and teachers of the law have become very accustomed to people looking at them, looking at their outward appearance and saying what? Wow, look at them. They are the Pharisees. They are the teachers of the law. Aren't they wonderful? And that's what they liked. And they spent a lot of time on that. And they started adding their own rules and their own regulations so that that would happen even more. Jesus is going to address what they were doing, an attack on Scripture, and they were replacing Scripture with other things. But these other things that they were adding to Scripture made their outward appearance a wonderful thing. And they loved it. And so they worked hard at that. And when somebody wasn't doing what they said that people should be doing, well then, they attacked. And that's what's happening here. What did they not look at, though? What was not important to them? Well, the end of Mark chapter 6. They knew what Jesus was doing. It was very well known at this point in Jesus' ministry that people were flocking to him and they were being healed. Their lives were being changed. So, people even touched the edge of his cloak were healed. And this is what they did not like. So, they were looking for the opportunity to drag Jesus down, to criticize him. Why did they want to do that? Well, that's what we've been talking about so far already. Because they had heart problems. They were not the people that would look into their hearts and say, what kind of problems are here and what do I need to change? That's not what they wanted at all. They wanted the outward appearance. They wanted people to look at them and say, that's a wonderful person. They are all that and more. And aren't they wonderful? And that's what they had until Jesus came along. Until this person came along and started doing all these wonderful things and healing people and getting people to start thinking about their relationship with God, that wasn't important to them at all. It was the outward appearance. So when the outward appearance became so important, the heart problem became very, very evident. So it wasn't a direct attack on Jesus at this point, but it was an attack on him through his disciples. So, verse 7, chapter 1 again. Chapter 7, verse 1. They saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean. And then drop down to verse 5. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? Well, that was their crime. That was their crime. The crime was is that they didn't do what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law thought that they should do. Now, it's important for us to understand that this was not the written down law. These were oral traditions that they had added to the law. And that's what they were upset about. Now, this may have been a legitimate question for Jesus, but it wasn't. And Jesus' response tells us why we know that it wasn't a legitimate question. They weren't coming to Jesus and saying, well, we have a serious concern about what your disciples are doing because we're concerned about the Word of God and how it affects their relationship with the Word of God. And we want to make sure everybody is living according to the Word of God. That's not what it was at all. It was all these things that they had added, these oral traditions. And they had elevated these things above the Word of God. And they they did that because that helped them to have this wonderful standing in the eyes of other people. So their traditions that they had added to the law became much, much more important than Scripture. And when people didn't follow that, they attacked it. And this gave them the opportunity to attack Christ. Their desire and for praise and attention for the outward appearance, to their outward appearance, had long caused the Pharisees to develop a very poor heart condition. So what is it when we raise our rules and regulations above Scripture? That is legalism at its finest. When we say what we've decided you need to be doing is more important than what Scripture actually says, then that's legalism. So when we decide that we're going to require that people follow extra-biblical laws and rules, that's legalism. And that's the heart of the Pharisees. And that's what they were teaching, and that's what they were doing. Now, we live our lives. We come meet here together once a week, and then get together on Wednesdays as well. And it's not hard for us to put on a front during that time to make everybody think that we are wonderful people. To be quite honest, we know the right things to say, right? We know how to act in front of each other. We know how to act in front of, you know, other people who name the name of Christ as well. And we can put on a facade to make everybody think that everything is absolutely wonderful. But the whole time, we could be having serious heart problems. And the Pharisees did this as well. But what happens when we do that is we start to become people that are critical of others. And that's what they did. So, they started criticizing the disciples and in turn saying to Jesus, why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands? And that's a heart problem. We start to criticize people about things that aren't even in Scripture because they're not doing the things the way that we think they should be doing them. And that's what the Pharisees did. So they overemphasized the outward appearance, the outward things. So look at this, those Pharisees. They always wash before they eat. And not only their hands, but they washed the pitchers and they washed the kettles and all these things. And they knew by doing that, they would elevate themselves in the eyes of other people. They overemphasized an outward appearance. And what happened? They neglected their hearts. Jesus is going to point that out very clearly. We need to be careful of this because we can sometimes do the same thing. An overemphasis on our outward appearance will lead to serious neglect of our hearts. Well, let's move on. Another serious and dangerous symptom of a neglected heart has to do with our response to God's Word. So secondly, a neglected heart is desensitized to the Word of God. So now we look at Jesus' response to this question, and His response to the question, which was really an accusation. It wasn't a question looking for information. It was an accusation, and He responds to it with blunt truthfulness. So He says in verse 6, He replied, Isaiah was right about you. Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men. Wow. You know, in our study on Wednesday night last week, I think I asked the question, when we think about anybody who was actually living at the time and had Scripture prophesy about them, like John the Baptist, and I don't think we came up with anybody, but here's an answer to that question. Unfortunately for the Pharisees, it's not the kind of prophecy that you want about yourself, but it is about them. Jesus said specifically, Isaiah was writing about you. He said, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain, their teachings are but rules taught taught by men. So here's Jesus' response. He tells them of their hypocrisy, and he tells them that their hearts are far from God. Because the praise of men was so important to them, they neglected their hearts, and now this terrible replacing of God's word has taken place. In verse 8, he says, "You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." This is a terrible thing. It happens a lot. It happens still today. There's this exchange of the word of God for what men now think is more important. It happens a lot. We see it in a lot of different places, and I'll point out some of those places in just a few moments. But we need to be very, very careful that it doesn't happen to us. And then Jesus gives them an example of what they're doing, replacing God's word for our own traditions and our own rules. So verse 9, he says, "And he said to them, 'You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions.'" You see what happens when we neglect the heart? When we neglect our heart and what's going on in our heart, we are desensitized to God's word. That's what's happening here. "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. Verse 10, "For Moses said, 'Honor your father and mother.'" And here's scripture, here's God's word, right? "Honor your father and mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is Corban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Now, we won't go into a lot of conversation about what he is saying is exactly happening here, but he's saying this very thing, that you are replacing the word of God with something else. You've come up with something else that you believe is more important than the word of God. It's a very, very serious thing to do that. Part of it might be because we don't know Scripture well enough, and we just start to go out and do things and say things and say, okay, this is the way it should be, and we don't realize that this ministry or this service has something that God's Word says specifically about it, so we replace it unknowingly. But part of it very well can be because we neglect Scripture and our heart is desensitized to it. And that's what happens. A neglected heart is desensitized to the Word of God. So, and then amazingly, he says at the end of verse 13, "And you do many things like this." So the Word of God, the commands of God, have not taken a place in their hearts to where they would say, "Oh no, wait a minute, we can't say this or we can't do this because Scripture tells us to do something different." That happens a lot today, even in the local church, and even in the body of Christ, where what God's Word says is being replaced by what other people think are good ideas. We have to be very, very careful of that. So Jesus lays it on the line to them, says, "Your hearts have been hardened, and the truth of God's Word is easily seen." And when they were confronted with that, it had no effect on them. They were back again in chapter 8, testing him. No change of heart. As a matter of fact, let's look at chapter 8. Turn a page or two there. Mark chapter 8. And verse 11, it says, "The Pharisees came and began to question Jesus, to test him. They asked him for a sign from heaven. He sighed deeply and said, 'Why does this generation ask for a miraculous sign? I tell you the truth, no sign will be given to it.' Then he left them, got back into the boat, and crossed to the other side." So they were not affected by this. Jesus said to them, "Listen, it's a heart issue. Isaiah said about you, their hearts are far from me. Did it have any effect on them? Absolutely not. Because they were desensitized to God's word. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 11 and 12 says, "For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart." The word of God, and this time it's coming from the Son of God's mouth, exposed them, but their hearts were not changed. Their hearts were not fertile ground. Their hearts were like dry, parched, cracked soil, like stone. This comes from spending too much time trying to make sure that the outside looks good to everybody else so that they can be elevated, and not enough time in the Word of God. And so therefore, their hearts were desensitized. And their rules and laws, their traditions took the place of God's Word. They neglected their heart, and now they had a big, big problem. But this could never happen to us, could it? Well, sure it could. And if we think we can live our lives without the regular washing of the Word of God, regular washing of our hearts with the Word of God, then this is exactly where we'll be. We'll be neglecting God's Word ourselves, making up our own rules, and end up probably doing what the Pharisees did, becoming people who loaded other people with rules and regulations and said that's more important than the Word of God. And it does happen a lot, more than we might think. We have traditions today. Traditions that have been passed down and that have nullified what God's Word truly says. In a few areas where they show themselves as in giving, missions. Most of what happens in missions today looks nothing like what we see in Scripture. There is a stark contrast between biblical missions and what we see happening today in the church. The church itself. What does the Bible teach about the church, the local church, the leadership in the local church? Again, most of it does not look like what we see in Scripture. Things have been changed and things have been handed down and people have said, this is the way it needs to be and this is what we're going to do. And if you don't do that, then you're wrong. But then you open Scripture and you see something totally different. The Word of God has been replaced by tradition and other rules that have been made up somewhere along the line, and people have said, all right, this is the way it needs to be. This is what we should be doing because somebody told me this is what we should be doing, and I haven't taken the time to open my Bible and look at it and see what it says. Well, that's when we neglect our hearts, we are desensitized to that word. An overemphasis on our outward appearance will lead to a serious neglect of our hearts. And Scripture will bear out to us, if we're willing to look at it, the heart problem that we have. Well, finally, if we don't take care of our hearts, it will be seen by our efforts to indulge ourselves. And indulging ourselves is something that we need to take very seriously because it's a temptation all the time. So thirdly, a neglected heart seeks to satisfy the flesh. So we'll start here in verse 14. Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." Now the disciples, I'm sure, were with him as he drew the crowd to him as well. "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this." He had a very important point to make. The Pharisees, of course, were very concerned about the outward appearance, washing the hands, washing the dishes, because in their minds that's what was important, so important that they would replace the Word of God with it. He says, verse 15, "Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." After he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples asked him about this parable. He says, "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. Can you imagine that? For the Pharisees to hear something like that. Of course, he's talking to his disciples at that point. But if the Pharisees had heard that, they would have gone crazy. And often Jesus said many things that did make them go crazy and out of their minds in response to Jesus and calling him a blasphemer and all kinds of things. But what is the point that Jesus is making here? He's trying to tell them that it's the heart that is the issue. So he explains it to them. Verse 20, he went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean." What comes out of him? His actions, his words. Because, verse 21, "For from within, out of men's hearts come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Now, this would have been new teaching for the disciples. What teaching were they under? They were listening to the Pharisees, I'm sure, and the teachers of the law, and they were teaching all their traditions and their rules, but now Jesus turns that all around. And he tells them, "Be careful of your heart. Be careful of seeking to satisfy your flesh, because your heart will show who you truly are. You don't need to worry about the rules and traditions, the food that goes into your body. What you need to be concerned about is the condition of your heart. A neglected heart will seek to satisfy the flesh." So the outward acts of washing hands, cups, pitchers, etc., was a way for some to bring the praise of men to themselves. Jesus said, "You don't need to be concerned about that. Because what happens then, when you're looking for the praise of men, you're neglecting your heart." An emphasis on looking good is an attempt to satisfy our flesh. When this is emphasized, it's the heart that suffers. An overemphasis on our outward appearance will lead to serious neglect of our hearts. A number of verses here from Proverbs that I want to share with you in closing. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 2 says, "All a man's ways seem innocent to him, but motives are weighed by the Lord." Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 2, "All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart." Now the outside should look good for the Christian. It should, because it should be a reflection of what's coming out of our hearts. So it's important that the outside look good. But does it look good because we seek the praise of men, or does it look good as a result of a pure heart? If it looks good because we desire to be seen, then we can expect heart problems in the form of criticizing others, setting up our own rules and our own standards, and when other people don't meet them, we're quick to criticize them. A heart problem that also sees itself being sensitized to God's Word, knowing what God's Word says, but setting up other rules instead. And also a heart problem that manifests itself by seeking to satisfy our flesh. These are heart problems that we will have. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 19 says, "As water reflects a face, so a man's heart reflects the man." And then finally, Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you for what it teaches us about ourselves and about our own hearts. Help us to be ever seeking to make our hearts get in line with what your word says and not be so concerned about what people think about us and putting on a good show for others. Help us to be most concerned with how our lives please you. We ask this in Christ's name.